Just a reminder, we have invites for tonight if you guys would like to take some. I left them out on the table out there that you can go, and then you can pass those around your neighborhood. If everybody took five or six of those and invited people, we might have, you know, more people that need to hear, you know, the scripture and the message of Christmas that can come tonight. We were walking around yesterday handing out some of these things, and there were people that weren't planning on going anywhere, and we let them know about that. And I think sometimes we forget that some people aren't invited, or they don't feel invited to go to a church, or maybe they had bad experiences in church. And just sometimes somebody that knows you saying, hey, come to church, you know, just celebrate Christmas, that's enough to get them through the doors. So I just want to encourage you guys to do that if you get a chance. Pull up some of those invites. And me and my daughter had a fun time handing those out and meeting people in the neighborhoods around here. So today we are talking about Christmas, right? It's Christmas. Woo! Come on, I'm excited about that. I love Christmas. This is a great time of year. When you think about Christmas, there's so many things that come to your mind. It's people who start decorating for Christmas after Thanksgiving, or sometimes even before Thanksgiving. I started seeing Christmas decorations and all that stuff coming into Walmart even before Thanksgiving was over, right? And more we see this big hustle and bustle of everybody getting ready for this big holiday. And we celebrate that by, you know, we don't have to work. For some of us, you know, even Walmart is closed. How's that? You know, Walmart closes? That doesn't happen very often. But on Christmas Day, they decide, hey, we're going to close, you know, for whatever reason. And people are buying gifts all over the place. I know in some of my extended family, there's like gift competitions. So is anybody out there in a gift competition? It's like, who's going to get the best gift? Okay, it's like literally, there's like, you know, got some big issues there. Okay, I forgot to dismiss the kids. That's my thing. Okay, I'm sorry. Kids, why don't you guys go back and y'all have your own special service? You don't have to listen to me today, but Merry Christmas for that. Yeah, and we have a lot of kids here today. I'm so excited about that. They're going to get to go and worship. Thank you for all those people who are doing our kids ministry. So again, we have Christmas, we have people buying gifts, we have people decorating their houses. I know in my neighborhood, we've got Christmas lights going up everywhere, or they've been up for a while. There's a Christmas light competition of who can decorate their house the most. Who in here loves to decorate their house and is like a big decorate your house kind of person? Okay, Sharon's back there going, okay. Everybody else is like, no way. I ain't getting in a ladder and putting up lights. I used to work in fall protection. Okay, Christmas lights are a danger. Okay, I put up some this year, and of course I put them all up, and then there was one strand in the middle of it that didn't work. And I was like, really? Really? But, you know, this is how we celebrate Christmas. And it has been, in our culture, very commercialized to the point where Jesus is literally on the back burner of this. When you go into Walmart, what do you see mostly? Like Santa Claus, you see reindeer, you see elves. And every now and then you'll see a little sign that says peace on earth. Or maybe you'll see the wise men silhouette, you know, or something like that. But Jesus has really been kind of pushed to the background of this holiday. And I love Christmas. So I want to rescue Christmas, with my family at least. And I want to make sure that what we do with Christmas is appropriate to who Jesus Christ is. Because Jesus Christ deserves a birthday celebration. Because this day was an amazing day. So we're going to focus on Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to read to you the story of the wise men. You know why they're called wise men, right? Because they celebrated the birth of Jesus. They knew to do that. So let's read together, starting in verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, In the days of Herod the king, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. So here we have the Magi, and we don't know exactly who they were. There's no way of historically determining who these people were. But what we do know about them is that they came to worship Jesus. They followed some kind of crazy astrological event that we can't even describe. We don't even know. All I know is these people were watching the sky. There was no star. And then all of a sudden, there was a star. And this star actually led them to Jesus. And they came. And they came to worship him. That's what Christmas is about. We're coming to worship Jesus on a day to signify the fact that on this day, Jesus came into the world. But who was this little child? Who was this person that they went all of that way for? Because some people say this was thousands of miles that they had to travel. And if I drive 1,000 miles, I'm tired. How about you guys? Yeah? Can you imagine doing that on a camel? And we don't know if these guys had camels. These guys may have walked 1,000 miles. We don't really know. We do know that this didn't happen on the day that Jesus was born. But that star appeared on the day that Jesus was born, and they followed it. And they ran into Jesus, and what was their response? Was to worship him. And why are they worshiping him? You worship somebody who's a king? They actually went to the palace to find him. They went to Jerusalem. Where do you find the king? Well, the star's near the palace, so let's go to the palace and search for him. So they go into the palace. He's not there. Herod's there. Herod's a fake king. He was installed by the Romans. And he wasn't in the lineage of David. And he knows that. So he hears, you're searching for the king of the Jews? Wait a minute. But they didn't find him there. They found him in a manger, in a stable, not what they were expecting, most likely, not what they had traveled all those many, many, many miles on a camel or whatever they were riding to get to. But who was this child? In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has not come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." See, that verse is talking about Jesus, this little child, this little baby. And what that verse is telling me is that little baby was God sitting there in that manger. He was the same God that actually spoke the world into existence. He was there. That little baby was there. That child was there at the beginning. That child was there through all of the Israelite history. And what is John saying is like, listen, he was always shining. There was never a time that Jesus wasn't shining. But what happened was we didn't understand it. We didn't comprehend how amazing Jesus was. That was the problem. That was the disconnect. In John 8, this is Jesus talking. So he's talking about himself here. He says, your father Abraham, this is in verse 56, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. That means he's always been here. This is Jesus saying, hey, I've seen all of this all along. I watched Abraham. You know, the promise that God made to Abraham, that was me. This is what Jesus is saying. This is that child that they came to worship. This is why they went all of that way, because they knew something great was going to be happening. An astrological event happened signifying this. They're like, this has to be big. There's a new star. Right? In Jude 1, it says, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long before him marked out for this condemnation, ungodly people who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though, that you know all things once and for all. The Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode. He is kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So what is it saying in Jude here? It's saying, first of all, that Jesus is Lord, Kyrios. Okay, that's the word he's saying. Jesus is Lord. He says that first. And then he says that the Lord was the one who led the people out of Egypt. In other words, who led the people out of Egypt? Jesus. Jesus led the people out of Egypt. Who cast Satan from heaven according to this? Jesus. God, that little baby, that little child. That's who the wise men came to worship. And just in case you think this is somebody else talking about Jesus, this is what Jesus says in Luke 10:18. And Jesus said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He was there. The child, that little baby, he was there. That's who they were coming to worship. The song says, oh, come, let us adore him. I love that song. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. But what does that mean, to adore? Because the word adore isn't actually in the Bible, by the way. It's not, you can't find that. But we use it. And it's because in our culture, it has a very special connotation. Okay, to adore is voluntary worship, because we view the object of that worship as worthy. See, listen, kings can make you worship them, right? In fact, they tried to make Daniel worship him. Like, you know, the king tried to make Daniel worship him. And Daniel was like, I'm not having any of that. Okay, but he was making a whole lot of people worship him. Threw him in the lion's den, right? To force him to worship him. You can be forced to worship somebody, but adoration is different. When you adore something, you're voluntarily doing it because you understand its worth. You understand that it's worthy. So when you say, come, let us adore him, this is the kind of worship that those magi brought Jesus. They realized he was special. They realized that child was different. And because of that, they worshiped him. And that's the opportunity that we have at Christmas time, is to realize how amazing this event was and how amazing Jesus Christ is, and to give him our adoration and to adore him. Hey, you know, hey, how many people have dogs? Anybody? Okay, we got some dog people. Okay, yeah. Anybody like, no, I don't like dogs. No, let's get. But most people love dogs, right? Dogs are just kind of giving. They're laid back, you know, and then there's cats over here. But the dogs are cool. Okay, and there are some cool cats, but some cats are a little psychotic. But dogs in general are just friendly, and they're nice. I had dogs. I had two little beagle mutts that we rescued from the pound. And when I really understood this word adore, was through them and through a story I want to tell you about them, because they would stay in my backyard in the fence, and they would all day long be running around. Lilla had a little doghouse that she would stand up on top of, and she would try to look over the fence, and then, you know, George would look up at her looking over the fence, and then they'd howl. They were beagle mutts, so they would howl and sing. It was beautiful. It was awesome. Well, when I was gone, they would just be running around. But when they heard the car pull up, they just knew it was my car. I don't know how they knew that, but they had very good hearing. They might have even smelt me. I don't know. I get out of that car, and I'm telling you right now, their noses were in the crack between the post and the house, so that they could see around the house and see where the driveway was. They were just stuck in their nose out. It was like they were trying to force themselves through that crack to see, is that daddy? You know, and then I would walk around. Sometimes I would walk around to see them, and sometimes I'd go in. But if I started walking around to see them, oh my goodness. They were like the leaping dogs. Woo, woo. They were like, yeah, he's coming. You know, these were my dogs. It was like I'd never seen them with such energy. They were so happy to see me. See, that at one point I stopped and I realized this is what we need to be like with God. Is that we're just trying to get a glimpse of him. And when we do, we get so excited because he's so good and he takes care of us. Listen, I was not the best dog owner in the world. I didn't spend all the time, but Jesus Christ is the best God. He is amazing. He's done so much for us. He died for us on the cross. He's given us salvation and freedom. We should just be ecstatic every time he comes, like just trying to be in his presence, looking out for him, listening for him. That's the adoration that we should bring Jesus Christ. See, Christ is worthy of our adoration. There's so many things that we give our adoration to in this world that are not worthy of our adoration. There are, you know, Hollywood superstars that people are adoring, and they're like, if I could only be like you. And so often, they're not worthy of our adoration because we have Jesus. And Jesus is amazing. And see, the wise men knew something was different here. Luke 2:10 says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. There's that word Lord again. Curious. In other words, God was born today. This is what the angels sang on Christmas. An entire multitude of angels was rejoicing, and these shepherds were just sitting there going, "What in the world? There's something big happening." And that big was our salvation. Jesus coming to give us that. One of my favorite scriptures is Hebrews, and this is going to be long. I apologize for this, but this pretty much says it about Jesus. This is Paul describing who Jesus was to the Hebrews. And if you look at the Hebrews and you look at their history, you know, they had the law, which God had given them, that they had to obey. But they were struggling when they became Christians to kind of get away from that and to understand appropriately who Jesus was. Because they had this vision in their head of like a warrior king Messiah who was going to come, who was going to take over the Romans, who was going to set them free, who was going to establish this new kingdom that they could live on. And listen, one day Jesus is going to do that. Okay? But it wasn't then. He first had to save us so that we could be part of that kingdom. But here Paul is talking about Jesus. And it starts in verse 3. It says, "The Son," and that's Jesus, "is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. The Son superior to the angels. For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I have become your father'? Or again, 'I will be his father and he will be my son.'" These are all quotations from Scripture talking about the Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is God. "And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.'" Heaven, start rejoicing. This is my son. "In speaking of the angels, he says, 'He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fires.' But about the Son, he says, 'Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness.'" This is why he's lifting him up, because Jesus, he loved righteousness and he hated wickedness. And the earth is filled with people who are wicked. But God's like, "No, this is what I'm extolling. This is what's worthy of worship." Right? "Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, 'In the beginning, the Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth.'" Again, talking about Jesus. "Jesus laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'?" That's the Jesus that we are supposed to adore. That's powerful. No one like him. Nothing like him. Ever. And sometimes we trade these false things to adore rather than adoring the thing that we should be adoring. So how did the Magi demonstrate real adoration? How do you demonstrate this? Say, "Okay, I understand this is Jesus, so what do I do to make sure that I'm adoring him the right way?" Well, what did they do? They left everything, right? They left their homes, and they let them take care of themselves. And that's something that often we have to do in our lives. We have our own plans. We have our own life. You know, and sometimes God is saying, "Listen, I want you here. I want you here." And we have to be willing, no matter what he says to leave behind, to leave those things behind. That's what true adoration does. It's like, I worship you. I want to be around you. It's like my dogs. I don't care what they were doing. When I pulled up in that driveway, they left everything. I don't care if there was a little bird out there they were, you know, very interested in, or a cat out there they were barking at. As soon as they heard me, boom, they were gone, left everything else. Because what really matters is Jesus. So they left everything. And then they sacrificed their comfort. They rode, I can't even imagine riding on a camel for that long. It just doesn't seem very comfortable to me. Again, the car in itself is not comfortable. But this is what they did. And we're talking about months on the back of a camel. That, they were willing to sacrifice. And not just to sacrifice their comfort, but also their time. Because, their mental energy. They were sacrificing these things so that they could come and worship and adore Jesus Christ. And they also gave generously. They brought their gifts to Jesus. And listen, we don't know anything about these people other than the gifts that they brought. And by the gifts that they brought, sometimes people are like, well, they were rich. We don't know that. We don't. There's nothing in the Bible that says these people were rich. They could have been bringing everything they had. And if, you know, they left their country, I bet they brought some nice gifts with them because they were going to worship and they wanted to show the appropriate worship. We don't know what situation they were in, but they gave generously. And not only did they give generously, but they gave generously of their time and their resources. Not just money. It's not all about money. You know, a lot of the things that we can give is just our service. And that's what God wants. God doesn't need your money. He can use your money, yes. But God wants you. And when we serve Him and we give ourselves that way, we're showing Him our adoration. And that's why, you know, one of the things about Christmas that I do love is the spirit of giving. Right? And we should have that as Christians, shouldn't we? We should want to give. But not just presents. You know the greatest thing that you can give during Christmas? It's this story about our Lord and Savior and all the great things that He's done. To give that to somebody, to share the good news with them. That's showing Jesus your adoration, sharing His story. They also humble themselves. Listen, they came up to a little baby in a manger and they bowed down prostrate and they worshiped Him and they gave Him gifts. We've got to put ourselves in the right mind frame when we go to Jesus and understand who He is and how great He is and how far we are from where He is so that He can do His work in us. If you want to show your adoration for Jesus, come there honestly and say, listen, I'm messed up. I need you. That's what these guys did. It's like, you know, here's this star. This is a great thing. And these people don't even know Jesus. They probably read some Hebrew scriptures. They probably understood that there was a Messiah coming. But did they really understand all that was happening? No, but they knew He was worthy of worship. So they humbled themselves before this new King. And we know what He's done for us. And that should encourage us to humble ourselves even more. And lastly, what they did is they chose Him over themselves. See, they had some options here. They could have listened to Herod. You know, Herod was a mean guy. He killed people. And they could have been like, well, you know what? If we don't go back to Herod, he might hurt us. You know, he might mess us up. But see, God gave him another order, and they said, listen, don't listen to Herod. You go your own way. And they chose God's way. They chose to follow God rather than to follow Herod and what the world has for us. And that's something that we need to choose over and over and over again if we're going to adore Jesus Christ. See, in the end, Jesus was born so that we could adore Him. That's why He came. It was in the beginning plan that Jesus was going to do this great thing for us to bring glory to Him. Philippians 2, 7. This is talking about Jesus. Jesus emptied Himself. He was God. He had all the power in the universe. He emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name. Because of that, He is above every name. He is exalted because of His sacrifice, because He came and emptied Himself, because He was humble. This is what God lifts up. This is what is worthy of our worship and our praise, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And if you think for a second that you aren't going to be one of the people proclaiming Jesus' name, you are wrong. It says in the Bible, every knee will bow, and eventually everybody will worship Jesus, because the truth will be revealed to us of His greatness. He will come in His magnificence and His greatness, and we will have no choice but to fall on our knees, because we understand how amazing that little child was that came to us on that Christmas day. And there's going to be some people that are just lost because they realized they threw it away. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. But if you know Jesus and if you adore Jesus, He's got your back. And that is what we worship. That is what is worthy of our adoration, isn't it? So I'm going to end with you. There's an often overlooked story in the Christmas story. It's in Luke. If you continue to read Luke and you look through the whole story, what happens is people read, and then they get to the birth, and then they jump over to Matthew, and they skip this little section. Well, there was a guy named Simeon who was waiting for the Messiah. This is in Luke. He'd been waiting a long time. He's really old. God says, you're going to get to see Him. So he was banking on it. He's like, I get to see the Messiah. So excited about this. And so they bring Him to the temple and they present Him before Simeon, and he gets to see this baby. And this is his response. I just want to leave you with this. I want you to just soak in these words for a second and think about it. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for you. On this Christmas day, we come here to adore you, to lay ourselves before you, understanding how magnificent and amazing that you are. Like the wise men, we worship you. I just pray that everybody in this room leaves and continues to worship you as they go throughout the next 2 days, and let that worship be a sign to the people around us that we have it right, that we understand who you are, that we are not blind. I just pray that our adoration can be a witness and a testimony to the people around us. Let's pray right now, if there's anybody in this room that you're starting to get it right now, and you're starting to realize how amazing, amazing you are, I pray that you just touch their heart. And I pray that during this next song, they can just walk up here, and if they need any help, they know that they're going to get that help so that they can get into a right relationship with you, so that they can receive that salvation that Simeon saw that day when he saw you. Thank you so much for this Christmas. Thank you for this family. Thank you for bringing the people here today that needed to hear this message. In Jesus' precious name, I ask and pray. Amen. Okay, everybody can...